Hi, this is Eric Castro with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts. This is the Resurrection Module, Part 3. And if you haven't heard Part 1 and Part 2, you need to go back and study it. There are notes. You can go and download the notes and go over it and over it. Get it into your spirit, because I believe that God is going to impart into us as we study His Word that unction of resurrection. And as we've been studying, I made the point, I believe it. First of all, the book of Acts is on the inside of you. It just has to be unlocked. Number two, the message of resurrection, Jesus is alive, was at the core of the message and the operation of the early church. We've got to get back to that. Church is not something you do on Sunday morning. Church is who we are with Jesus Christ in our midst. Let's open in a word of prayer, and then let's continue this study on resurrection. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my friends. I ask that you would give us an understanding heart, eyes that see, ears that hear. And Father, I'm asking that you would impart your word into our spirit so that something new can begin to grow. Oh, Father, we worship and love you so much. We do. Lord Jesus, you're alive. And I'm asking that as I finish this module on resurrection, that you would just come and spend time with us in your power, in your glory, where we could just enjoy your presence because you're alive. And Lord, in that, you heal, you deliver, you give answers. So Lord, as we look at your word, come and be with us in Jesus' name. Now let's pick up on number 18. Wow, 18. Paul preaches to Athens. This is going to be exciting. Acts 17, 18, certain philosophers, Epicureans, and the Stoics encountered Paul. Some said, what is this babbler saying? and others, it says, it seems like he's talking about a strange God, a new doctrine. But Paul was preaching Jesus Christ and resurrection. Remember, that's been the theme of this. You need to get a hold of that. The power of Jesus Christ and the message of resurrection go hand in hand. And let me tell you, when we make that a part of our daily living, our Christianity gets exciting, because everywhere we go, it's just not, oh, I go to church. No, I serve Jesus Christ, who's alive. He was raised and he's alive right now. He can bring life into you. He is the breath of God that can bring repentance and forgiveness to you. Now, note, Paul encounters the Athenian intelligentsia. He begins to declare Christ resurrected. And the message of resurrection so grabbed their attention that they wanted to hear more. Now, Athens is the core. It's the center of humanism in the earth. Now, you say, well, humanism. Well, yeah. And now, when I think about the Bible, I think about when Cain kills Abel. Think about this. Murder comes into the earth. It's the first murder. And then Cain departs off and he builds the first city. He leaves the garden. He leaves the hope of that tree. It's guarded by angels. And he pushes off and he creates the first city. And in that city, humanism, man is God, man is relying upon himself, was first planted now into the earth. Now, I'm quoting from rabbinical study. So when they talk about humanism, man is God, man relying upon himself, we see that all the way in the book of Genesis with the first city. That's why when it comes to Abraham, he was looking for a city, whose maker and builder is God. Abraham, God's man of faith, laid the foundation of Jerusalem, What? Through his faith, sacrificing Isaac. Remember, we talked about that. Resurrection. So in the book of Genesis, we see Cain's city, a city that didn't need God. It was at the very core of humanism. And when you look around the world today, all of the major problems and that affect nations really are lodged in the cities. That seems to be where the central focus of humanistic power and demonic control really operate. Abraham, on the other side, was not looking for those cities. He was looking for God's city. Now, we come to Athens, and at this time, we're in the time of Rome, but we've already gone through the Greek Empire. Greece is known for man. Man is God. Man's humanism. Paul comes into Athens, which is the very core of this place, and he begins to preach resurrection power. You know, when I think about this, I think about when the Philistines stole the Ark of God and they put it in their temple, Dagon. They worshiped the idol Dagon. They served Dagon. And yet they bring the Ark of God into that very temple, and God's power shakes that place. And here is Paul carrying the glory of God and the message of Jesus Christ and resurrection. And they opened the door and brought him into their temple, into Athens, into the Areopagus. And there is Paul preaching resurrection. Oh my goodness, that's powerful. Now let's go to number 19. He's still in Athens. Acts 17, verse 31, Paul declares to the Athenians that Christ's resurrection gives assurance to all men. Because he hath appointed a day by which all will be judged. Now think about that. The day's appointed. All will be judged. The world by his righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised Jesus from the dead. Now think about that. Through the resurrection, God has given all men assurance. Ooh. Now, some people preach, you know, predestination. And let me just touch on that. I just got into that. Some preach, man has a will and then God predestines. And let me just touch on that. Through the resurrection, the Bible says that God has given to all men assurance. Also, we know that God is not willing that any perish. So we know that is Bible doctrine. But you know what? There is a side of predestination and calling. And let me just say this to you. When you really look at Scripture, you cannot preach one over the other. You have to look at both. You have to receive both. And you have to let them speak for themselves. And don't think that you have to speak for the Bible. Let the Bible do the speaking. And right here, we're going to do the speaking. God gives all men assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Ooh. And let me just add to that. There's been too much Bible division based upon people taking that scripture or people taking that scripture and fighting each other over those scriptures. I'm going to say it again. You don't have the right to take one scripture and bash someone who has another scripture. Take both and let both begin to, in a gentle way, begin to teach you. God is bigger than you. There's a whole lot to God you don't understand. You don't understand Melchizedek, and that's fine. There's some things about the Bible you accept. And when you see the Lord, he'll make it very clear. And so I want to, while we're talking about this, is that there can't be division on these things. But we know through Scripture, God gives assurance to all. Now that's important. When you walk down the road, you see your neighbor, they have assurance. You go to the grocery store, the guy bagging your groceries, he has assurance of that resurrection. Very important. You got to put that in your witnessing. When you look at people, they have assurance. The Bible says it, okay? Now, Paul was a witness to the great and to the small, the rich and the poor, the lowest person and the highest person. In this passage, we see that the Lord, in his compassion, reaching out to the elite of Greek culture. Paul later writes, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the carnal mind doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God. This is clearly seen through the sermon that he gives in Athens. Very powerful. Acts 17, verse 32, Athens responds to the message of resurrection. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked and others said, "We'll hear this matter again. We want to hear more." Isn't that amazing? That there was salt and light in that message, and it was going in, and a lot of people were rejecting it, but others were sensing there's something in this message. Paul preached to those who had heard, and preached, and those who heard had to decide how they're going to respond. When you hear the message of resurrection, the Holy Spirit is preaching, and you can't find middle ground on it. Either you're going to accept it, or you're going to begin to harden your heart. You can't stay the same. You cannot. And when you preach to people, they cannot stay the same. When I witness to someone, either they're going to begin to soften, or I know they're going to begin to harden. They're not going to be the same after I've ministered to them. And I know that. When I go in there, I know there's a grace, where they've moved towards Christ or they've hardened, but they're never the same. Think about that. Every man listened, they had to decide not only to Paul's message, but to the Spirit of God speaking to their hearts from heaven. Some went further into darkness, others went closer into light. Acts 20, verse 9, a young man raised to life after falling through a window. Like I said, Paul is a man who preaches resurrection, and then he demonstrates the power of resurrection. People are being raised from the dead. I just love it. I'm getting excited here. Acts 20, verse 9, and there sat in the window a young man, his name was Eutychus, being fallen deep into a sleep as Paul was preaching, taking a long time preaching. And he sunk down to sleep, and he fell out of the third story. And when they went and found him, he was dead. Oh, my goodness. Now, I want you to think about the area of the world where they were. During the day, it's very warm. So these guys are working throughout the day. They're tired, but they're so hungry. They want to hear what Paul is talking about. They want to hear about what Jesus is doing. Don't you love to hear about the miracles? That's why you read the book of Acts. That's why you read through the epistles. You want to learn more. But these people were with Paul himself. And so Paul is taking a long time. He is really laying into their spirit. Now, let me tell you about Paul. Paul understands grace as a minister, that you've got to take time to build things into their spirits. Paul didn't go and say, "Listen, I know I only have 20 minutes of your time, just give me that time." He didn't do that. He was working with the Holy Spirit, and he was working, building a foundation into them. And then when the grace would lift, he would pause. And so that's what made the church church, is that the Holy Spirit and the minister were ministering. That's what makes it holy. In the West, we've got a problem. We have very short services. The people don't get very fed, and then they go back out into the world, and we wonder why there's such decay. Because we haven't taken the time as ministers to let the Holy Spirit write the Word of God and to impart it into the people. Paul took his time, and he built the... He said to the church, "You're my epistle." He was writing an epistle in them. Oh, what a powerful, powerful principle. So he's taking his time, but Eutychus, he's sleepy. He had a long day. And maybe he had a low thyroid. I don't know. But he falls asleep and he falls out the window and he dies. Paul takes a little pause. He goes out. There's Eutychus. He's dead. But the power of God comes upon him and he grabs him. And when he grabs him, that grab of energy and power, where the gifts of the Holy Spirit come, the gift of faith that brings his spirit back down into him, the gift of the working of miracles that breaks death's hold. Oh, hallelujah. And healings. The man probably broke his neck. He had to be healed. So the gifts of healings come into operation and heal Eutychus. Any internal bleeding, his neck, his back, it was healed. That's power, and that's resurrection power. We've got to have that in our churches. And let me tell you, if the church corporately isn't praying strong together, you won't have these things. The church that will pray corporately with a vision for the Great Commission, with a vision for these things, will begin to enter into it in this day and hour. The churches that meet for a little bit of time, wonderful rock and roll, praise and worship, and all these kind of things with smoke and all these things that we think in the West that that's Christianity, I don't think that it will bring these things. These are different things. These things come from heaven. You have to pay a price for them. And I don't think it comes from a shallow cultural Christianity. I want you to think about that. Now, so he raises Eutychus and whoo, what a service. I bet you they didn't sleep that night. They probably all went home and laid in bed going, wow. And they probably throughout the next day probably said the same thing. Wow. Number 22, Paul divides the religious leaders over the message of resurrection. Acts 23, Paul perceived that part were Sadducees and the other were Pharisees. He was on trial. And he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope of the resurrection of the dead. I am called into question. Paul on trial decides to use his knowledge from his time as being a Pharisee. He knew what the Pharisees believed. He knew what the Sadducees believed. And he used the doctrine of resurrection in order to bring division into the Inquisition. That's pretty amazing that he would do that. And so that message of resurrection, it can be used like that. Obviously, we see it done here. Think about it. Resurrection, the importance of that message, and it brings confusion into the camp of the enemy. Never forget that. Acts 24, verse 21, the message of resurrection was at the root of Paul being persecuted. And then he says, except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, that I'm called into question by you this day. So Paul reveals right there, the reason I'm here in trouble is because I preach resurrection. Think how important that message is for the church. All the way back at the beginning in the first episode, we talked about how the religious leaders were saying you cannot preach resurrection. Remember, they sealed the tomb, they set a guard because they feared the message of resurrection. And it didn't work. The power of God came, moved out the stone. Then they told the apostles, you can't preach resurrection. It didn't stop. They were full of the Holy Ghost. They kept preaching the resurrection. And so Paul says, you know, the source of my problems is because of the word of resurrection. Now listen. If that's the case, how important in our local churches is the message of a vibrant revelation of resurrection? Jesus is alive, and we need to preach it. Ooh. Number 24, Festus recognizes Paul's message, He goes over. He recounts the message of resurrection, and he tells Agrippa. Acts 25:19. but had certain questions against him of their own superstition, and of one, Jesus, who was dead, whom Paul affirms to be alive. So these Romans and these leaders, they knew that Jesus died. That wasn't done in secret. They knew that Pilate had issued that death. That part of history was known. But here, Festus is saying, and Paul is preaching that this Jesus who died is alive. Festus knew the details of Jesus' crucifixion under Pontius Pilate. The message of Jesus' death was not the issue concerning Paul's confinement, but it was rather resurrection. Remember, he was confined. He was being held. And it wasn't because he preached about Jesus. It was because he preached resurrection. This intrigued Agrippa to desire to hear Paul personally. Think about it. That message of resurrection caused the people in Athens to say, we want to hear more. Here is Agrippa coming, and he's hearing Festus talk about resurrection, and he says, I want to hear more. I believe that message of resurrection is what causes the sinner to want to hear more about God. Number 26, Paul continues preaching to Agrippa and Festus, Acts 26:23. And the Bible says that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And so Paul here, this is the last declaration of resurrection in the book of Acts. Think about it. Paul is a prisoner of Rome. He declares to the governor and the king that Christ's resurrection gives light unto all men, even to the Gentiles. Once again, we see Paul, a witness to both small and great, standing in the strength of God, declaring resurrection. As Paul preaches his sermon, we see the crowd divided. Festus rejects, but Agrippa is moved. Oh, resurrection. It's a message that we've got to get. We have to declare it, and I believe we have to demonstrate it. So, in this completion of this module on resurrection, I want you really to think about it. I want you to incorporate, I want me to incorporate what we've been listening to in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is more than a history book. It is God's blueprint for the church. We've got to get back to resurrection, declaring it. When you're at the grocery store, you see the person that you have to pay, or maybe they're helping you with your groceries. They have assurance. If they don't know Jesus Christ personally, they have assurance. Everything about this message is about hope to Jews and to Gentiles. We've got to incorporate this in our prayer time. We've got to incorporate it in our speaking, in our praying. And I believe as we do, you'll see that the world cannot stop the message of the gospel. Hey, this is the end of resurrection. We love you so much. Go to www.foursmiles.com. Keep getting trained. Go to our evangelism modules. Learn how to witness. If you're not witnessing about Jesus, change that. Get some teaching in you and learn how to talk to people. And listen, if you were here, I'd lay my hand upon you and pray for you. So I'm going to do it anyways. Heavenly Father, I lay my hand. I'm asking that your healing virtue right now would go into my friend from the crown of their head to the tip of their toes, that you would fill them with the Holy Spirit. Fill him with hope. Fill him with life. I just believe right now that wherever this video goes, that there's going to be a release of life in Jesus' name. God bless you. Until next time, bye-bye.